getting
Let's
that
wait till he wins first.
Nailed down in case. This is sort of like the congratulations version of an exit poll. It could be wrong. Anyway, joining us now, we're going to go directly to our Florida bureau, which is staffed by Sally and Peter Shapiro, and they're joining us now, or at least Sally is. Hi, Sally.
Hi, how you doing, Colin?
Pretty good. Now, where exactly in Florida are you?
We are broadcasting live from the Apalachicola Grill on the corner of Market Street and Avenue E in Apalachicola, Florida, on the Florida Panhandle.
And I would assume this is a drinking establishment of some kind?
Well, it's an eating and drinking emporium. It's fabulous. We just had a margarita with Tupelo honey in it and some crab cakes and coconut shrimp. And Robin is taking really good care of us. Robin is a Bush supporter.
All right.
And she's not embarrassed to talk about it.
All right. So are we going to talk to Robin right now? Is that the plan?
Yeah, Robin's right here.
All right.
Okay.
You put her right on.
Put her right on.
Yeah.
Hey, Colin.
Hi. And Bruce is here, too. You can say hello to him as well.
Hi, Robin.
There's two of us. And now, maybe you can quickly tell us, what has it been like to live in Florida? I mean, forget about the hurricanes for just a second and just talk about the campaign. What has the political climate been like? What has it done to you psychologically to live in Florida during this election?
Well, actually, it ain't really been that much different.
Yeah, so it's crazy in Florida all the time.
All the time.
Yeah.
As you can tell from the last election.
Right. And you're a Bush supporter. Have you voted yet today?
No, I haven't. I went this morning, but the lines were so long, and I wasn't able to go.
Yeah.
They're probably not going to count your vote anyway.
Right.
So.
No, they probably will, actually. I think they're saying if you're a cocktail waitress, you can vote tomorrow. So, you know.
Well, I'm not actually a cocktail waitress.
No, too bad.
But
if you've served a margarita at any point during the day today, you can vote tomorrow, I think they're saying.
No, I can still vote today, and my vote will count.
Okay.
I am all for Bush.
Mm-hmm.
And
is Peter, like, goosing you while you're talking? Is there
Peter told me that I need to be a diehard Bush fan,
yeah,
which I am. And the egg it on to you.
All right. Well, you certainly have done your share of egging there, Robin. So you can pass the phone back to Sally. Thanks very much for that fine report.
Okay, thank you.
Remember, you don't have to vote today. You can vote tomorrow.
Now we have Rochelle.
Okay.
She's a Carey fan.
Does she work at this establishment as well?
She's a customer.
A customer,
regular, okay. I think. She's from Panama City Beach.
All right.
Robin is from East Point.
Okay.
And so I'm going to put Rochelle on and let her tell you what she thinks. Here.
All right. This is our Florida Bureau. Hello, Rochelle.
How are you?
Good. The first question that we had for you was sort of, what's it been like living through this election in Florida? What's the atmosphere been like? Is it different in Florida, or is Florida just crazy all the time?
We're just crazy all the time.
So you haven't really noticed any great difference in terms of just people getting in your face about things?
It's actually very divided down here. Very divided.
Yeah.
But I've been here 15 years, and this is the most divided I've seen the state since I've been here.
Yeah. And now you say you're a Carey supporter. Have you, in fact, cast your vote yet today?
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
I early voted.
Oh, you early voted. Okay.
Yes.
And was that a fairly easy thing for you to do?
Oh, no problem at all.
Yeah. Okay. Well, other than that, do you have anything to report about the political climate there?
Yes, we're tired of the Bush family, and we're ready for a change.
All right, well, you have a little bit more of them to put up with anyway, no matter what. But anyway, thanks very much. If you could pass the phone back to Sally, we'll have the Florida report. We'll probably sign off here.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay.
So we're back to Sally Shapiro. Fine work by our Florida Bureau. Thanks very much for doing this.
Thank you. Do we get a press kit? Do we get a press badge and everything?
Yeah, well, the press kit's in the mail. We'll FedEx it.
Okay.
All right. Bye.
See you later. Bye.
And now
for some high excitement.
Yeah, I think we're switching now to our Mid-Atlantic Bureau. Joining us now is Bruce and Colin Show Mid-Atlantic Bureau Chief Scott Sherman here with a live report from Baltimore.
Zdrasit, is this a morning with Ray and Diane? Is it Ray?
Wait a minute, this is our Moscow Bureau. We got the wrong
the wires got crossed.
Is this Seldorf, Connecticut with Jim Bersevich? Because давайте вымерить дружбу наших народов. We have exit poll information here for you when you want it.
All right, what's the exit poll information?
It's not very good here.
Okay.
Yeah, not very good. Hello, Colin. Hello, Bruce.
Hi.
Do people listen to the show now up in Connecticut?
Absolutely. There's four people.
Yeah, and but we're going to be on all
our
long,
most
yeah.
recent exit poll reveals.
You can call back at midnight if you want.
Really? Bruce, I haven't seen you for a year.
I know. It's been far too long, Scott. When are you coming back?
I'd love to. What can I do for you?
Well, anything you'd like. I mean, you probably haven't been invited back if I'm reading this.
That's true. Yeah. But what can I do now to...
Now. Well, first of all, we'd like to know, just describe what the voting atmosphere was like in Baltimore today.
Well, very crowded. The polls opened down here at 7 a.m. I got in line at 20 of 7, and the line was already out the door. And when I left around 7:15, very long, surprisingly long. So I think it's consistent with what you're hearing from other sources.
And were you wearing any decorations or anything like that today?
Who told you?
Well, I'm just asking.
Yeah, no, I actually did. I reached way back because I think, because I don't have anywhere else to go, but I wore a Humphrey Muskie button from the 1968 race, which in my mind was as pivotal as the race today.
Yeah.
And people just stared at me funny, and that was about it.
But no one actually struck a blow at you or anything like that?
No. And actually, I moved to a neighborhood where they're now Republicans, and I've never actually voted with Republicans before.
Yeah.
So that was sort of interesting.
They snort when they're in the booth, and they make kind of strange bestial noises. I noticed that.
I did do one funny thing. I took my BlackBerry into the booth with me.
Yeah.
And wrote a message ahead of time to a bunch of friends, which basically said, I'm here in the booth, and simultaneous with pushing this send button, I'm hitting my cast vote button for Kerry, and sent it out.
So you simultaneously voted and BlackBerried in one just gigantic climax.
Well, I used different hands.
Yeah, okay. Well, that's a beautiful story, actually. What kind of machine do you actually use down there in voting in Baltimore? What do you have?
You know, I didn't check the brand name, but it's not one of those D-bulb things.
Yeah, but it was like a touch screen?
Yeah, no. Yes, it was. With little green arrows.
Right. Well, thank you for the fine report. This is Scott Sherman. He's our Mid-Atlantic Bureau Chief. Are you able to call any of the races so far?
No.
Too early in the evening.
Yes, that's
all right.
Correct.
We'll be coming back to you then.
Great, thank you. Thanks, Bruce, good to talk to you.
Good to talk to you, Scott.
And
Bruce,
Bruce
likes you. That's the only reason you're on this show.
Please come back, Scott.
Yeah, Bruce,
yes.
Bruce, I'm sorry about Colin.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay.
The only reason you're on the show is he likes you.
So long.
Yeah. I love Scott.
Yeah.
He's the best.
Yeah, he's great. So anyway, that already, what, we've been on the air 15 minutes.
Yeah, look at that. I mean, we got it all over. Who needs a network?
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I mean, please.
We have drunk people in Florida and...
Yep, and Scott.
My neurotic college roommate.
And Scott. Yeah.
So,
that's pretty much that.
Yeah. So, but we also will have some slightly more substantial reporting coming in from...
Well, wouldn't it have to be?
Yeah. Kevin Rennie will be joining us. Patty McQueen will be joining us. We may have some other people on as well. We've had reports already from our Florida Bureau and our Mid-Atlantic Bureau based in Baltimore. Now joining us now from Western Pennsylvania is Patty McQueen, who's there doing the Lord's work for John Kerry. And let's find out what that's like today. Hi.
Hi there. How are you?
Well, we're just fine. What are your early observations there in Western Pennsylvania?
Voter turnout is very high.
Yeah.
All across the board in the Republican and the Democratic districts,
mm-hmm.
which is a good thing. Although we are getting lots of reports of problems with provisional ballots and problems in the minority districts, there's some voter suppression issues going on, and it's just started to rain, which isn't going to help.
Do you have any sort of visibilities there today? Is anybody, I don't even know who's there. I know Teresa Hines Carey was there to vote, right?
Yeah, she voted this morning.
Mm-hmm.
No, we don't have any visitors in today, thank goodness, because all of our people need to be out pulling people out to vote. We have a massive get-out-the-vote operation going on. I'm actually in a boiler room, as we're calling it, which is really just our headquarters
mm-hmm.
for reporting in and getting numbers and monitoring everything that's going on.
Well, you know, I mean, one of the things that people have sort of been saying over the last, 12 to 18 hours is that inside the Kerry campaign, there does seem to be a certain ebullience that's lacking right now inside the Bush campaign, that somehow or other there's some kind of sense that Kerry thinks he's ahead and Bush doesn't.
I will tell you that over the past 72 hours or so, mm-hmm. things seem to have come together a whole lot more for
mm-hmm.
us. And I think it's because the internal numbers stayed pretty strong for a couple of days running. I mean, it's really been tight, and, as everybody knows, the numbers have been all over the place. But we've sort of, particularly here in Pennsylvania, and the judging by what we've seen so far, that it seems to be holding.
Yeah. Has the actual registration, I don't know, I know you just got into Western Pennsylvania a little while ago, but the registration composition of the area you're in, has it really changed as a result of the new registrations, do you know?
I don't know that it's changed a whole lot. I mean, Pittsburgh itself is largely Democratic, and the outside areas, which they call the donut, are largely Republican. And that hasn't changed. I mean, I was here 12 years ago, and it's pretty much what it was then. I think the difference is that there's a large unknown in all of the college students.
Mm-hmm.
And in fact, that's where some of our voting problems are, and those first-time voters out at Pitt, university, mm-hmm. and they're, you know, where they're just having some issues about provisional ballots and getting in the door and voting machines that aren't working and great things like that.
Yeah. I get the feeling that for some reason or other, Pennsylvania may wind up being the tightest of these three battleground states. So, I mean, it may take a long time anyway to get any real numbers out of there. I mean, that's sort of based on the very vague rumblings that I'm hearing.
You know, the truth is the numbers that I don't have them in front of me, so I don't want to go through them. I couldn't tell you exactly what they are, mm-hmm. but some early numbers that I saw actually show that Pennsylvania is doing very well and that some of the other states are much tighter.
Mm. Well, so, that's why we don't put a lot of exit polling stuff on the air at this point in the day, because the numbers that you hear are all over the place.
We think they're just trying to make us feel good here by telling us Pennsylvania's doing well.
Yeah, keep the mood up. Well, listen, Patty McQueen, thanks very much for phoning in, and good luck as the day goes along.
Thanks.
All right, bye-bye.
Bye.
She sounded kind of down.
She was exhausted, I think. First of all, Patty McQueen doesn't ever seem to sound that up. But I think she sounds exhausted. And a lot of these, you know, I rewatched a big chunk last night of The War Room, which is that great documentary that was made about Carville and Begala and Stephanopoulos and Stan Greenberg during the time of the first Clinton victory. And it's a disturbing movie to watch because everybody looks so much younger than they are now. But it's also an interesting movie. I mean, they really do kind of get it. You know, they do pull back the curtain on what it's like inside a campaign. And it was a really interesting movie to watch, you know, 24 hours before this moment, because you have a keener sense, I think, of what some of these campaigns are going through. And they are in this weird combination of exhaustion and giddiness and exhilaration, and to whatever extent they think they can taste victory, you know, that sort of mingling with their exhaustion. So basically, we'll be talking to crazy people all day long.
Good.
Yeah. In addition to our callers who are also crazy.
Well, yeah.
Anyway, we do have time for callers right now. The numbers are 522-WTIC, 1-800-966-WTIC, *WTIC. We also want to say that we'll go back on the air at 7 o'clock tonight with Mr. Bruce Stevens and Ray Dunaway anchoring from here, and then the rest of us cannon fodder will be out in the field with various candidates and gathering places for the various parties. Tomorrow, we'll do our show for Beautiful Losers. And we have this incredible lineup, actually. This is, like, really cool. We have a show where if anybody who lost an election is allowed to come in, and we'll try to get them pizza, and we have some fine psychotherapists from the University of Connecticut give you a reason to go on living. We'll have also, in studio, Bill Curry will be giving his speech to people who've lost elections to help them find perspective. Then one of America's foremost Buddhist theologian or Buddhist scholar, Robert Thurman, who also is, incidentally, I'm not making this up, Uma's dad. Robert Thurman will be joining us to also give us kind of a Buddhist perspective on, you know, how to go on with your life after Election Day. And then Mario Cuomo will be joining us by phone also. So that's all tomorrow's show, and there may be some other surprises as well.
That's it?
Well, that's all we've been able to cobble together so far. I know that you, meanwhile, you're in that whole sort of anchor. You know, you've got that... You're just throwing off like these incredible Cronkite pheromones right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Have you and Ray kind of worked out sort of a good night, David?
I haven't seen Ray.
Good night, Chet kind of thing that you're going
to
be doing?
I haven't talked to Ray at all.
Yeah.
I have no idea.
Or where you call each other ignorant sluts. Or I'm just wondering what the vibe, what the dynamic of you guys is.
I think it's kind of a weekend update sort of thing.
Yeah. Have you worked together before? I'm trying to remember. I mean,
sure.
You've
done
other things. Yep. So you already have a pre-existing.
Oh, sure, yeah. Not a problem whatsoever. I wonder when it's going to come time for Ray to go home. He has to get up and be here early in the morning.
Yeah.
So.
Well, then you will be the anchor. You will be, you are the man.
I
you're
guess.
Our daddy at that point. You yeah. are our daddy.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Should we go to the phone? Go to
well,
the phone
we should. Yeah.
Cindy looks like she might have something interesting.
Cindy and a, what?
She's in Massachusetts.
Oh, Massachusetts.
Beautiful man.
Turn it down.
Yeah.
Hello.
Did you just yell, turn it down?
What's that?
Did you just yell, turn it down?
The radio. That's okay. Yeah. I got okay. it. I'm driving back from New Hampshire.
Right. Attention once again over to the very tight race in the 18th District of the General Assembly where Andy Fleischman has now opened up a lead, a fairly commanding lead.
On himself?
On himself, yes. He's now getting slight, he's getting on. We can't really call the race yet for Andy, but it does appear that he's got a substantial lead with a number of precincts still not reporting all
Is
way.
This because of
Because of the Bruce and Colin machine, our endorsement of Andy Fleischman?
No, not that. I mean, we're not going to use a lot of exit poll information bat, so we don't want to just jump right in now and
call
this.
One of the few races that we're hesitating to call it. We certainly, you should continue voting if you live in the 18th, because it could go the other way, obviously. But we do feel that Andy has got a substantial lead.
I tried to vote for Andy today, but he wasn't on my ballot, unfortunately, so I felt kind of bad about that.
Yeah. But we will continue to run his commercials. Forever, probably. I still think, since he had no opponent, what he should have done is just come on and said, "Hi, I'm Andy Fleischman. This is a song I really like." And then just played, 30 seconds, 60 seconds of Springsteen or something like that. I mean, people would have really appreciated that, as opposed to Andy talking about election reform.
Mm.
But anyway, we feel that he's out in front. Should we quickly talk to Kevin?
Sure, yeah. Kevin in a car. Hi.
Kevin, do you have any new data on that race? So here we are.
Now I know why you've been mistaken for Mick Jagger so many times.
Well, we're both very androgynous. I think that's part of it.
Right.
I have some exciting TV news for you.
Okay.
Which is that on MSNBC today, this is kind of a How Are the Mighty Fallen story in some ways, but it's also nice. Former CNN hottie and fornicator with Rush Limbaugh, I might add. Natalie Allen is now reporting for MSNBC.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, she has some crap job. She's in Iowa.
Yeah, but that's okay.
She's a correspondent in Iowa. We always like Natalie Allen.
She's very nice.
Very attractive and a very pleasant person as well. And she's at least back reporting, doing some MSNBC work.
That's good.
As opposed to
at least she got work.
I can't even talk about Darren Kagan.
I know you
so can. Upset about this old Rush Limbaugh thing.
That's thoroughly understandable.
The idea of him...
I know. It's just...
putting his...
Oh,
the
guard's
stinky
don't
mouth
even.
On
Darn.
You know, in any way. Oh, it's disgusting. And I was actually, today she was on and she was wearing kind of a, enjoyable kind of bright reddish-orange keyhole.
Enjoyable?
Yeah, but I couldn't enjoy it. I couldn't enjoy it. But she took it off and Bill Hemper put it on and then I liked it better.
Yeah.
I can never look at
Darren. Sure looked good on him.
Yeah, I can't look at Darren Kagan anymore.
Okay.
We got a Natalie report.
All right. Now, here's Bobby in Glastonbury.
Hi, Bobby.
Excuse me.
This will be out in the field all over the state of Connecticut. We'll have correspondents in those two key races, 2nd District and the 4th District. The 4th District is going to be covered by Ed Reynolds and Steve Cowell. So expect broadcasting history to be made down there. And joining us now, it's perhaps the race that we've been watching closely all day. Andy Fleischman in West Hartford, in the 18th district, is running against himself.
Yeah. Now, is this a concession speech or an acceptance speech or both?
You know, I'm trying not to get ahead of myself and I'm trusting in a higher power and trying to just keep those anxieties down. And we'll see. I have both written.
Yeah. And so you're not like pulling some kind of Curt Schilling thing and claiming the higher power did this, right? But if weren't for the assistance of a higher power, you might have lost today?
Let me say, any time that I throw a 95-mile-per-hour fastball, I do give credit to powers other than myself. But I do also focus on the things that we have to do here in the world to make the will of higher powers manifest.
And now, I also have some Equals Ryan questions. Do we have to, now that we've had you on, do we have to have like 2 minutes of dead silence or something for your opponent?
I think you're going to have the other side of me tomorrow.
Yeah, okay. Well, since you have sort of a multiple personality disorder, there may be four or five appearances connected with this. But
I'll show up with a French accent.
Okay.
Hey, Senator Chris Scott stopped by West Hartford headquarters, Democratic headquarters, just about 45 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And gave the troops a big pep rally kind of speech.
Yeah.
And he's very optimistic about how things are looking for Jimmy Sullivan in the second.
Yeah, I actually do think that that's going to be, I was pessimistic last night, and I'm getting increasingly more optimistic about the second as the day goes on. And I don't know what kind of actual numbers anybody has down there at this point. I mean, I think it's kind of intuitive, but what I'm hearing is also it sounds pretty good for Sullivan.
Well, I think that the main source of optimism for the senator and a lot of other folks is the heavy, heavy turnout, which is obviously good news for Democrats, and Enfield in particular. The really heavy turnout is good news, and I hear that Simmons is spending a lot of time